Allegheny County Commission, Monday, October 7, 2013, to order and offer, actually, I'd like to call on Rick, if that's all right, to offer an opening prayer. Sorry, Rick, I didn't see you sitting here.
Heavenly Father, we want to come before you this morning, and we thank you for the great blessings that you give us, and just praise you, God, for the great God that you are. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Thank you for that great area that we live in. Thank you for the weather we've had recently, Lord, and the rains. And just amazed at the blessings you pour out upon us, and including the blessing of salvation that you provided through your Son. Again, we thank you for that and just praise you for that. We pray, the Lord, that today that you would just give each and every one of us wisdom. Help us, dear Lord, to make decisions that be pleasing to you and honoring to your kingdom, dear Lord. Pray that you would just give us the guidance to do those things. I want to lift up those that may need your healing hand and pray again for them, dear Lord, that you would be involved in those that may need your healing hand. Just lift them up to you. Pray for the soldiers, dear Lord, that may be away from home in harm's way, and lift them up to you and pray that you would just watch over them. Again, we just thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commission remarks before we get into the formal agenda. I would like to place a legal notice in the paper this week, guys, for public hearing regarding the budget and hold a budget hearing for the public next Monday. The law simply provides that prior to the adoption and development of a county budget that we will have a budget hearing, which will allow any member of the public to come in and have input before we begin that process. Are we not here Monday?
No, it's Columbus Day.
How about Tuesday? Really? We're doing our walkthrough of the White River Valley Historical Society at 10, but I think we still should schedule commission for Monday, and we'll just make that, we'll just get up and go from here over there. Is that all right?
That'd be fine.
Is that all right, Brandon?
Talking about next Tuesday?
Yes.
I thought that's tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is tomorrow. I've got it down wrong. You're right. So we'll establish a budget hearing for next Tuesday. I'll take care of the legal notice.
Do you need that in the form of a motion?
I don't think we can do a motion during county commission remarks, can we?
No. No, I'll just run the notice and then we'll have the hearing. All it is, again, is to give the public an opportunity before we begin the process. And I'll take care of that. Any other commission remarks? First order of business on the formal agenda is road vacations, which is an issue, at least for Chapter 228, road vacations that we take up on a quarterly basis. Mr. Cotty, if you could join us at one of the microphones. If I'm not mistaken in what I have received, we have at least two sets, one that was filed last quarter.
Yes, sir.
Which is Cook Road, and another is a set of road vacations from Big Cedar?
Big Cedar and one other.
And one other?
Well, a joint application by Big Cedar and one other organization.
I'm going to let you have your choice. Would you prefer that we pick up the one from last quarter, or would you like to extend the courtesy of allowing them to move first?
I'd prefer that they go first.
Would you like to join us, sir?
Brian Wade from Springfield. I'm here on behalf of Big Cedar LLC and White Oak Ventures, which are both owned by Mr. Morris. And we filed a first petition, and then we filed an amended petition. The amended petition was filed because we cleaned up the legal description a little bit to clarify the location of the roadways in relation to the lots that were platted in the subdivisions. I'll tell you that with the exception of two lots, and I think Mr. Rasnick spoke about one of them, they're all the lots in the area are owned by Big Cedar or White Oak Ventures, with the exception of two. Mr. Rasnick's mother, I think, was provided a copy of the petition. She was served with a copy of the petition. And then we'll give her another copy of the amended petition. And the plan is, it's called Dale Road, and Ms. Rasnick's property sets, she has an access to Dale Road, and she currently, I think, goes west and then does a 360 back to get out to the main road. We've started extending Dale Road straight out to the arterial, so she'll have a shorter drive out. It won't landlock her. And the Taney County Road and Bridge representatives have been out to look at the road, and we're building that access to county specifications. And we'll file a new plat, assuming that the county commission vacates these roads and dedicate the new portion of Dale Road to the public. I don't think that the county maintains the roads currently. I think Big Cedar does, but we will dedicate it to the public on the new plat. So they won't have any access issues that I know of.
The road that they have in question is currently dedicated to the public?
Yes.
I know there's a procedure, and I have plenty of time to ask questions along the line, but what you've submitted is strictly a vacation, not the reestablishment of a different public road at the same time?
We're asking for vacation of roads that currently are not used. Well, with the exception of the two lots that I just talked about. So there are two residents that have property, two lots in this area that still use Dale Road, and we're going to take Dale Road. It's going to be faster and quicker to the exit.
I understand where I was getting. There's also a provision, if I'm not mistaken, under Missouri law that allows for the relocation. So you cover both at the same time so that affected property owners that might have an argument would be provided for within the same petition wherein the road is established when one is vacated. But that's not what we're proposing.
I think our road will be completed before you take it up at your next term. We'll have a new road in place, pavement, it'll be done.
So your statute that you're using is the one that allows for the next quarter instead of the one that allows vacate the day of the presentation.
Today, as I understand it, I've talked with Mr. Cotty. I'll read the petition, and then y'all will, at the next term, vote on whether to vacate those roads.
For clarification, if I'm not mistaken, what we're talking about is if a vacation is presented today under Chapter 228, mm-hmm. we have to set it aside till the next term.
Right.
We have quarterly terms, so it would be January before this actually comes up for a decision or possible decision from the County Commission at that time.
That's correct.
Correct? Okay.
The the matter to be addressed, is this when the discussion, Mr. Cotty, would take place as far as the inconvenience that was brought forward in public comment?
He did bring it up in public comment.
Right, but my question is this the time that we would voice our concern if there is a concern through the petition process?
I don't believe so. Under the statute, the only thing that's to occur today is the reading of the petition formally. Then at the next term day, the matter is read again. The petition is read again, and at that time, depending on whether a remonstrance, an objection has been lodged, the commission will discuss it and decide. But today, the only thing under the statute that can occur is the reading of the petition.
That's all I needed to know then. I did have one other thing. Randy, is Dale Avenue, Dale Road, I know there's several of those. Is it a county road?
I don't know if I have it.
Here's the reason I ask this question is because there's roads within, some of them are listed as Devil's Pool, some of them are listed as Big Cedar. I just want to know if Dale Road is a county road or a public road.
Mr. Wolf told me that they are all public roads, but not county roads.
Dale even has a sign on it that says not maintained at all. They don't. Now, the water view is the one that comes up to her. Well, they do.
Dale is not county maintained. It is a public road. Right. But water view is a public road that's maintained, and I believe she lives at the end of water view,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, she does.
Okay. I just was trying to get things straight because there's Dale Road. There's a Dale Road that is a county road. This is Dale Avenue, right, that you're talking about. All right.
It's called Dale Drive.
Dale Drive. All right. We have Dale Avenue also. So I want to make sure that...
Is Dale Drive in a Dale, by the way? If you'd like to continue, we're ready to hear your petition.
Yeah, sure. And I will, I'm referring to the amended petition, and I don't know, Frank, does it have a particular number assigned to it?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
I'm referring to the amended petition in the matter of vacation.
Let me interrupt. We do, for reference purposes, we have a county file number of 13-068.
13-068?
Yes, sir.
In the matter of vacation of the following roads, matter 13-068. Big Cedar LLC and White Oak Ventures Company are moving the county commission to vacate the following roads in the Oliver Township: all of Ravine Drive, all of Devil's Pool Road, all of Center Drive, all of Rim Road, all of Hilltop and Cozy Cove, all of Lakeshore Drive, all of Lakeshore Drive lying perpendicular to particular lots identified in the First Amendment petition, all of Lakeside Drive lying perpendicular to certain lots in the subdivision, Ozarks Paradise Village Road as per the recorded plat book 8 at page 46, all of Waterview Drive lying perpendicular and adjacent to lots 95 through 114, all of Dale Drive lying perpendicular and adjacent to lot 1, Block 12, lots 46 through 68, and Block 12, lots 29 through 51. All of Lakeside Terrace Road lying perpendicular and adjacent to lots 135 to 145. All of Rim Road lying perpendicular and adjacent to lots 140 to 152. All of Cross Road lying perpendicular and adjacent to lots 140 and 152. All of Stone Road lying perpendicular and adjacent to lots 1 through 13. And lots 26 through 37. Those particular roadways are collective. The legal descriptions, of which I won't read to you, are attached to the amended petition and marked as Exhibit A. And I'd ask that the commission take notice of Exhibit A to the petition. collectively attached to the petition as Exhibit B are the surveys of the roads that I've identified to be vacated. Attached to the petition as Exhibit C are the signatures of 12 residents of Oliver Township through which the here and above referenced roads run as required by Missouri Revised Statute 228.110, supporting the application for the vacation of such roads, declaring them useless, and stating that the repairing of the same presents an unreasonable burden upon the district. Attached to the petition as Exhibit D is the road currently under construction that will provide access to both Big Cedar and White Oak and the owners of Lot 94, Block 12, and Lot 32, Block 12, Ozarks Paradise Village. And those are Joseph Henry Rasnick and Steve and Eugenia Scantlin. We represent in good faith that there are no other property owners affected by the proposed road vacation. Petitioners state that it is desirous of having the above-mentioned roads vacated and that such vacation will not be detrimental to any adjoining landowner, and wherefore the petitioners pray the commission enter an order to vacate the roads here and above mentioned. And for the record, I have, we filed the returns of service concerning the petitions served on Ms. Scantlin, or Mr. and Mrs. Scantlin, and Ms. Rasnick. And I think Mr. Rasnick, who's related to Mrs. Rasnick, spoke at public comment. I have also spoken on the telephone to Mr. Scantlin, who has no objection to the vacation. Thank you.
My suggestion, gentlemen, is that we set this at the appropriate quarterly meeting, which is going to be January of 2014 for hearing, that we notify any parties that might have an objection. I'm doing that by way of speaking to you now, that formally we will need to have a remonstrance filed if, in fact, you do end up being opposed to the vacation. Just something formally written that states that you oppose it, and Mr. Cotty could answer any questions regarding that. I don't believe that a remonstrance has to be handled by council. It's something rather simple. So,
when will the next term date?
It will be the first county commission meeting in the month of January of 2014. I'm going to see if I have that.
So would we have to have this statement of have a problem with that before this quarterly meeting?
Sometime between now and then, yes.
I mean, our issue, of course, would be we just want to see what kind of road it is. I mean, it sounds like the road is going to be coming online there, and if we have at some point between now and the January meeting, we see a problem with that road, then we can file this complaint at that time that you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll file that with you guys.
Frank, yes.
Matt, the rule's pretty simple, but it doesn't go into much detail in the statute. What it provides is that sometime before this next hearing date, in writing, they call it a remonstrance.
Be January 6th.
Where you describe what your reservation, your concern is, and you file, you can take it upstairs to the commission office. Nikki up there will make sure it gets in the file. But that'll take care of the statute, and then you have a chance to say your piece and present it here at the hearing.
Where you can.
I'm not assuming that's going to happen. I just want to know.
And if you have, you can call me too.
Okay.
Or about the road. My number, and it's on that petition.
And Frank, it's January 6th.
Okay. If I may, just...
Yes, sir.
So the record is full on this. I understand that talking with Mr. Wade, prior to this next hearing, at which there will be a second reading and there will be an opportunity then for the commission to act, there will be another posting notice of the hearing, and I think if he's not already supplied you with a copy of the amended petition with those clarified descriptions, that'll be done as well. So, is that right, Mr. Mayor?
That's correct.
I assume the one we have is probably the latest version. Maybe we got one.
Yeah, the second one has a, it's, all it did is change the legal description.
So we will establish a second hearing regarding this petition for January 6, 2014. If I've made a mistake, it'll be the first Monday hearing in January. We will make sure of that date, sir, and for all parties that are involved. Anything else?
Nothing.
Thank you.
Thank
for your
you.
Presentation. Ron Erickson, if you are listening, could you join us for a moment? And Mr. Cotty, if you're ready, we'll take up the petition for vacation of a portion of Cook Road,
yes,
which
sir.
Was presented at the last term.
I'm ready. As you're aware, the procedure calls for the petition to again be read, and so I'll do so. Now, this is in the matter of the application for vacation of the following road, a portion of Cook Road located in Taney County, Missouri, and the legal description of that portion of the road is attached to the petition as Exhibit A. This is the petition for vacation of a portion of Cook Road, and it reads, come now the undersigned pursuant to Section 228.110 RISMO and apply to the County Commission of Taney County, Missouri for an order vacating a portion of Cook Road, and in support of this petition state, first, the undersigned are 12 in number and are residents of Swan Township. Second, the undersigned seek an order vacating a portion of Cook Road, approximately 2,950 feet long, located in Swan Township and more fully described in Exhibit A, which is attached hereto and incorporated herein. Third, the portion of Cook Road be vacated is useless and repairing of same is an unreasonable burden upon the district. Fourth, the portion of Cook Road to be vacated crosses or touches lands owned by Mr. Arthur Dwight Brockman, and a copy of this petition will be personally served on him as provided by law. Fifth, at least 20 days before the term day at which the petition is presented, notice of the filing of the petition will be made by posting notice in at least three public places in Swan Township. Then goes on, wherefore, the undersigned respectfully requests that the County Commission enter an order vacating the portion of Cook Road described in Exhibit A, and that the Commission make such other orders as it deems just and proper. And the petition itself is then signed by 14 individuals. And as I understand the statute, gentlemen, at this point, if there has been no remonstrance to this file, the commission is authorized to act on the request as they see fit.
And I apologize if I missed it. Have there been any remonstrances that have been filed regarding?
We've received no remonstrance.
Is there anyone present at today's meeting that would like to file a remonstrance regarding the petition for a vacation of a portion of Cook Road? Seeing none, discussion or motion?
Motion for approval of the vacation of a portion of Cook Road as described through the petition process.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the vacation of a portion of Cook Road as described within the petition, as per the petition process. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Discussion on that, and the vote was already taken, but the one portion of that will be gated off, and the other portion, I'm not sure how the other portion is to be taken care of, but it will be removed from the 911 road addresses so that it's not used as a road for emergency purposes or anything like that. That's where we run into a lot of problems with the road. So.
Are there any comments within the audience regarding this vacation that has just occurred? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cotty.
Thank
Is
you.
There anything else for vacation process?
No, sir.
For today? Gentlemen, give me just a second. Mr. Erickson, could you join me for just a moment? Deadline for that budget hearing to hit the media, and he alerted me then. Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 336982 through 337038. Warrants 5846, 5847, 5848, and transfers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks number 336982 through 337038, through eight. Warrants 5846, 5847, 5848, and 5 journal entries. As described, one is from transfer station to Road and Bridge, one's from buildings and grounds to Road and Bridge, one's from buildings and grounds to Road and Bridge, another buildings and grounds to R&B, and transfer station to R&B. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Approval of payroll.
Move to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve payroll. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Records disposition. Good morning.
Hello. Yes, we have a request for disposal for the sheriff's office. I got the list from Linda Gifford, the correct years and the retention numbers. I believe Christy emailed you a new list this morning.
I have that in front of me.
Okay, good.
These are all documents that are found within the sheriff's department. They're
yes.
all documents that fall under Missouri law, and we are, in fact, and do have the capability of disposing of these in accord with that statute.
Right. Yes.
Is there a motion to dispose of the records presented us this morning through the county clerk's office?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to dispose of the records as herein described and provided through the county clerk's office. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Next issue is municipal agreements. I had asked for this topic to be on the agenda. This pertains directly to agreements with incorporated areas by and between the county and or the sewer district in the past. The discussion centers around whether or not the county should continue utilizing the sewer district as the agency to oversee disposition of funds from the county sales tax to incorporated areas. As a question was raised regarding our direct involvement with the disbursement of those funds, I alerted the sewer district board at our last meeting that the county commission would be, in fact, looking at this. I'm not asking for an action today, but I want you to think about it, and if you have comments to make about it, then we should schedule that for that decision. The question was raised when I was chatting, do the cities have authority over the sewer district in the unincorporated areas? And, of course, the answer is no. So the question was, why would the sewer district, who oversees sewer district construction in the unincorporated areas, have any say over the incorporated areas, which is a fair question. But the point being whether or not the county should handle those directly or not directly. And in part, that was the reason for bringing an individual on, at least in part, to look at that. So that's something I would like to, again, schedule, but I wanted to give you all opportunity to think about that, ask questions, and then we can have a full discussion about that in the future. Intergovernmental agreement with Ozark County. We have in front of us an intergovernmental agreement between Taney County, Missouri and Ozark County. And it spells out that Taney County would maintain certain roads that Ozark County has difficulty getting to, which is easier for us to maintain, and certain counties that belong to Taney County that Ozark County could get to. I hope I said that correctly. Anyway, it would be a swap of services by and between Taney County of equal value, which will save us both time and money if, in fact, we enter into this agreement.
Motion for approval of the intergovernmental agreement with Ozark County on the county road system.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the intergovernmental agreement between Taney County, Missouri and Ozark County, Missouri regarding our maintenance of roads within the county's systems. Discussion. By the way, this agreement was executed by the County of Ozark, 23rd day of September. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
I think that there is one more county that we did one of these last week. I think there's one more county, and one county has refused the proposal that was made. So it won't be on the list. I think there was four counties that was looked at by Randy for some period of time and evaluated. the amount of work that is being done on those particular roads and the difficulty of reaching those roads. So I think this is a good deal for our county and the counties that are involved.
Yeah, I think it's a great deal for both counties. It saves us, again, as I said, saves us both time and money. Review of the biosolids pre-construction meeting. Melissa Duckworth and John Soutie are joining us. I attended the biosolids pre-construction meeting. It's last week, wasn't it, guys?
Yes, last Tuesday.
And Melissa and John also attended that, so the three of us were there representing the county, along with the cities and all the other players that were involved, as well as the Department of Natural Resources. And I asked these two if they would give us a little synopsis of what happened at that meeting as we get ready to enter into this, I think, tremendous project. John, do you want to start?
Yes, I'd be glad to. It's hard to believe that it's taken 10 years to get to this point, but I remember when Larry Van Gilder, who was the public works director for the city of Branson, first brought a pamphlet and distributed to the sewer board. That was about the biosolids program, and Dave Woolery was DNR ombudsman at that time, and he was a big player in that also. But just thinking back, you know, how long it's been, trying to work on the financing and the other things. But basically, the current status of the project, you know, the Department of Natural Resources construction permits have been issued. That was issued on May 1st of 2013. All the agreements are in place between Taney County, the City of Branson, Hollister, Forsyth, and Kimberling City. And these agreements form the Tri-Licks Biosolids Coalition. Branson West and Rockaway Beach have decided at this time not to be part of that. It's hoped that once the facility comes online that they will see the benefits of the facility and maybe rethink that situation. The pre-construction meeting, as Commissioner Hausman mentioned, was last Tuesday, October the 1st. The official starting date of the project has been determined to be October 2nd, which was last Wednesday. Carson Mitchell, they're a contractor based out of Springfield, Missouri, will serve as the general contractor for the project. They've done several projects in our area. Most notably in our area would be the Branson Recplex. They were the general contractor on that project. The time frame for the project is 455 days. It was 365 days, but looking at the time it takes for the equipment to be manufactured, they added an additional 90 days to that by a change order. So the substantial completion date of the project will be December 14th of 2014, with a final completion date of December 31st, 2014. The project consists basically of modifications to existing structures located at the City of Hollister's wastewater plant and the two treatment plants that Branson operates, the one at Compton Drive and the one at Cooper Creek. The building at Cooper Creek will be the most significant modification. It will basically be a 30-foot by 70-foot addition to the existing structure with a whole new roof structure. Since this building will house the dryer unit, it's just a lot more plumbing, a lot more wiring, and a lot more modification than the other two structures, which will basically be the removal of the sludge thickening devices that are used now, and then the installation of the centrifuge units. The contractor plans right now to begin on the Cooper Creek plant and start working on that modification and trying to get that completed as soon as possible to make use of the weather that we're having. And it's just such a nice weather this year that they want to make good use of that. Due to the EPA requirements, the DNR will have people performing periodic inspections on the work, so they can answer back to their people that the project's progressing in the fashion that they want to see. HDR engineers, the engineers for the project, will also have a inspector on site, Terry Day, a local gentleman here who's worked for HDR probably about 7 years, maybe more. Terry probably has over 30 years experience in the construction trade. He will be the chief inspector for HDR on the project. There will be monthly construction meetings. They will be held on the second Tuesday of each month at 2 p.m. Following the biosolids partnership meetings. Those are occur at the Branson Utilities Conference Room. The contractor welcomes anybody to come on site that would like to visit the project site, only that they request to be notified before you would show up there. And they do enforce safety protection and regulations on their site, in that they would want you to have a hard hat, safety glasses, whatever personal protection equipment that may be necessary, depending on what kind of construction is happening that day. If a person didn't have those items, they could supply those for you. Taney County, as far as the grant requirements, will be the owner and continuing authority of this facility for 4 years. During that 4 years, by agreement, the Trilex Biosolids Coalition will be responsible for the operation and maintenance of the facility on behalf of the county. And the coalition has selected the city of Branson to be the provider of the functions necessary to operate the facility, which would include the management of the facility, administration, operation, and maintenance. And they're projecting the first year's cost to be estimated at $188,000 to run this facility. That's been projected based on the number of loads of sludge would be coming in, the staff and hours. They have an example has been made part of one of the agreements that outlines what they built their costs will be. Based on the 2013 numbers, the facility would generate about 1,200 dry tons of sludge or a biosolids product per year, which is the equivalent to about 200 dump truck loads of this material, which, you know, can be used in a multitude of different uses. And there's been some area farmers, you know, that's been looking at that also for the fertilizer potential that it may have and different things like that. But that 200 dump truck loads per year equal about 5,000 tanker truck loads of liquid biosolids.
And that's phenomenal.
That's phenomenal. That's amazing. I mean, you think everybody sees the white trucks going up and down the road, but you really don't understand how many loads of liquid biosolids is going until they've done a study like they did to come up with these numbers. But that 5,000 tanker truck loads equals about 12.5 million gallons per year of biosolids being land applied. Which, in most cases, the grass has absorbed the biosolids and the phosphorus and different things that make up that's inherent to the liquid biosolids. But, you know, in periods of heavy rainfall or unexpected rainfall, that might wash into the lakes, creeks, or streams of the county. But that's a tremendous amount of biosolids being applied. And that's not only Taney County. Branson's actually defined suitable sites to dispose of that, or even they're going into Christian County also. So areas that are suitable and meet the regulations, and those regulations are becoming more stringent each year, those sites, those land app sites, are really getting hard to come by due to development and so on and so forth. But for the most important part of the project, which is the financing of it, how it's going to be paid for, I'll turn that over to Melissa.
Okay. The county... this will be partially funded by a 48% match grant. It's the Nonpoint Source and Green Infrastructure Demonstration Grant. It's through the EPA. DNR is the grantee, and Taney County is the subgrantee. Taney County is responsible for a 52% share of the cost. So essentially it means for every qualified invoice we turn into DNR, they'll reimburse 48% of that back to the county.
Let me elaborate on that first, if I could. Because originally, we pared it down to a $6 million contract. 50% of that is from the county, and 50% is from DNR. However, the city of Branson wanted to do some other infrastructure renovations, the building, so forth and so on. They're coming up with $250,000. So DNR does not want to pay any portion of that. The county does not want to pay any portion of that, but they wanted it all worked through the same pay schedule. That's how we came to the 48.52. Our maximum out-of-pocket will still be the $3 million. I just wanted to clarify. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Missouri Department of Natural Resources, their Water Protection Program, receives all of the information from us. So on a reporting basis, we are required to weekly report just to set us saying we believe that all the payroll is correct, that we've paid, it's part of the Davis-Bacon Act, so we pay prevailing wage, those things. That is to be completed and signed by the county's authorized representative on a weekly basis as soon as the project starts and we start receiving that information from our from the engineer. The monthly payment requests are to be submitted to DNR when they will reimburse us. Those are for the qualified invoices, for the payroll, for the contractors' invoices, and for things like that. Those are to be signed by the authorized representative. DNR has a 10-day turnaround with a 3 to 4 day time frame needed to make the transfer. So they have 10 days to look everything over and to submit to make the transfer for reimbursement, and then it may take 3 to 4 days for the banks to make that happen. All invoices that are submitted need to have 3 signatures. One will be from the contractor, one will be from the engineer, and one will be from a county representative. DNR did tell us it does not have to be the authorized representative from the county, which is Mr. Hausman, but it can be from anyone who's submitting that, because Mr. Hausman will still have to sign the cover sheet for those invoices. After the final closeout of the project, the county will be required to maintain the documents for 4 years, all supporting documentation for 4 years to the close of the contract, which I will maintain and keep that available for audit or for anyone that requests it. Because of the amount of this project, the county for fiscal year 2014 will be subject to an A-133 federal grants audit, just to go ahead and let you guys know, since mm-hmm. the amount will put us over the threshold. Even if they do raise that threshold from $500,000, we will still be over the even raised threshold. The contract time frame for payment is 30 days from when the contractor turns in their stuff to the engineer to when they get money back from us. Looking into that, if an engineer has that information from 1 to 5 days to certify it and then they send it to us, it is my advice that we go ahead and pay and then get reimbursed from DNR, with a potential 14-day turnaround from DNR and then another 3 to 8 days, maybe 10 days from us to get a PO and payment request. It could put us very close to the 30 days. So my advice would be to any qualifying, there's no change orders, everything is just working along fine, would be to go ahead and submit and pay the contractor and then submit to DNR for reimbursement.
And we currently have, within the 2013 budget, both expenditures and revenues that are budgeted for that. However, obviously, this is going to carry into next year, so we're going to have to give that budget consideration for next year as well. You mentioned the audit, and I'm sorry to interrupt your presentation, but we have hit that threshold, I think, for every year for a number of years, so it's not going to be an increased cost to the county. It just ensures that we're going to have the audit.
Right.
But through other grants that we receive, whether it be COPS grants or whatever, we're doing that audit each year annually anyway.
This grant alone would put us into that audit
right.
requirement for 2014, but yes, we do have other federal grants, and it is an overall on how many federal grants to put you over that threshold.
More comments? Gentlemen, you got questions? I'd like to point out that if these two were not in place, the county would be hiring someone, number one, to oversee the work that's being done and all the things that we're having John do, attending the meetings, following the construction, etc. We would either be paying the district or we'd be paying someone to do that. If we had to have a grants, outside grants administrator, other than the one that we've named, which is Melissa, somewhere between 5 and 10% of this grant, we would be paying an additional $15,000 to $30,000. So I think that what we have done with putting these two in place already has paid for the cost that they have as employees. And I just want to point that out because I think that's really important. And I thank both of you for having attended that meeting, and I'm tickled to death we've got you both in place.
I'd just like to say that I, myself and a lot of people involved in this project think that it's going to set a high standard for the state of Missouri and our region on how biosolids is handled. The DNR people, they share that that feeling also. We're already hearing interest from other communities that are looking at wanting to come and see this once it's put into operation like we did when we went to Arkansas to look at their facilities. Mm-hmm. But the facility is one thing, but the agreements that pulled these entities all together. You know, we got started out with probably 7 or 8 political entities, and then we've ended up with where we're at. But those agreements in themselves and the hours it took to bring those agreements together, that's a big deal.
City of St. Joe, to follow up, is already, I think, in the process of doing this. And there are a number of counties that are watching us to see how this works that I'm confident we'll take that step when they see how successful it is. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
A bid recommendation for voter registration cards. Mr. Erickson? Donna? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is a bid recommendation for bid number 201308-238 for voter registration card services.
Would you read that back just a little bit slower?
201308-238.
Thank you.
Voter registration card services. This went out at the request of the county clerk, who is joining us here this morning. I put this bid out on August the 21st. We opened these on October the 1st. We received 2 responses, and I have a bid tab prepared. Fairly simple responses. The information, Donna reviewed it thoroughly and is prepared here, and I'll let her read the amounts. As we recommend the lower of the two.
Just to explain further, this is to do our annual canvas where a voter registration card has to go out to, a voter ID card has to go out to every registered voter within the county.
We're doing that annually now?
Every other year.
Okay.
And Ever J. Rice and Company in Springfield, Missouri had a bid of $14,367.92, and AV Data LTD from Milwaukee, Wisconsin had a bid of $19,890.39.
What was the lower bidder's name?
Edward J. Rice Company, Inc.
And your recommendation?
We have used the Edward J. Rice Company in the past. I am satisfied with their quality of work. It decreases our cost greatly. They not only take our data and run it through NCOA, National Change of Address, but then they take our data, import it into their program, actually print the cards, and then mail them for this price. So we're getting a significant value.
How many registered voters do we have?
35,000.
With 35,000 registered voters, this includes the card and the mailing cost?
The card, the postage, and the ink, and all the computer technology it takes to put that all together.
Can you get into deals like that for election supplies, Donna?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
We're getting that because it's required by statute, so it falls into the not-for-profit mailing services. Mm-hmm. So it actually costs us 9 cents per card to mail. The remainder of the cost is for the paper, the ink, and all of the work. That
that's a great price.
Yep.
Gentlemen, is there a motion?
Move to award bid number 201308-238 to Edward J. Rice Company, Incorporated.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to award the bid for voter registration cards known as 201308-238 to Edward J. Rice Company, Incorporated. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you all.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Just for the media's edification regarding that public budget hearing last week, it's not really for elected officials or department heads. It's just for any member of the public that wishes to come in and say anything. Missouri law requires us to have that budget hearing prior to even beginning the budgetary process for the upcoming year. Gentlemen, unless I read this wrong, we're scheduled to work with the elected officials on the personnel policy upstairs at 10 a.m. So if we could stand in recess until we get upstairs, we'll reconvene there.